strength and my song. The Lord has chastened me sorely.
Wisdom.
The reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians.
Let us be attentive.
Brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Peace be with you, the reader. Arise, let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be with you all.
The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Let us be attentive.
At that time, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, and she praised God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said this, all of his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him.
Peace be with you who proclaim the gospel.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There was a group of academics and historians, and this group compiled this kind of startling information I want to share with you. Since the year 3600 BC, that's a period of over 5,500 years, the world has known only 292 years of peace. During this period, they calculated, there have been 14,351 wars in which 3.64 billion people have been killed. The value of the property destroyed is equal, they say, to a strip of pure gold around the entire world, 97 miles wide and 33 feet thick. As fascinating, not to mention frightening and disturbing, as these facts are, I beg to differ with this information, or at least offer another perspective. I believe that instead of 292 years of peace, there have been 0 years of peace. Instead of 14,351 wars, there have been billions of wars. And instead of 3.64 billion deaths due to war, there have most likely been untold and innumerable casualties, a number known only to God. So why such a discrepancy between the historian's information and mine? Because I am talking about a totally different type of war, the war that has plagued humanity from day one, the spiritual warfare waged by the devil on every single human being ever to exist, where the body is not at stake, or material goods and property, but one's eternal soul, one's everlasting life and existence. This war is exactly what St. Paul described this morning to his letter to the members of the church in Ephesus. He says, "We are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And this contest is real, brothers and sisters, very, very real. We would be quite unwise to dismiss this fact of the invisible warfare, because that would be to give the enemy the absolute and utmost advantage, even handing him the victory outright without ever even putting up a fight. To paraphrase C.S. Lewis, the devil's greatest advantage today is that people no longer believe in his existence and consequently become his playthings and the easiest of prey. Let us not forget the exhortation we find St. Peter writing in his first epistle. "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Satan waged war on our first parents, we know very well, in the garden, tempting them with his forked tongue and subtle whispers of rebellion against God. He deceived the inhabitants of the world into making gods of idols made of wood, stone, and various metals, tricking them to worship the creation rather than the Creator. The devil warred against the righteous and much-suffering Job, just waiting for him to give up on God and utter blasphemy against the Lord. Satan caused David to fall through lusting with his eyes at Bathsheba, and the evil one even had the audacity to battle against Jesus Christ himself in the wilderness, tempting Christ himself to turn stones into bread, to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, and to bow down and worship him in exchange for all the riches and kingdoms of the world. This is why, when we are baptized into Christ and the world of the church, we are equipped with the armor of God and a panoply of weapons with which to defend ourselves and wage our own spiritual combat against the dark spirits of evil. The baptismal service prays that Satan be crushed under the candidate's feet, giving him victory over the devil and over his unclean spirits. It further prays that God yoke unto his life a radiant angel to deliver him from every plot directed against him by the adversary and from encounters with evil. The one baptized, being marked with the sign of the cross, is even called a sealed and newly enlisted soldier of Christ our God. These texts alone demonstrate that we are soldiers in Christ's army, engaged in mortal combat with the devil and his fallen angels, who come at us in various ways and in all sorts of circumstances. By thoughts, by means of other people, using our emotions against us, through images and screens of all types, through our stomach, various appetites and our senses, through the media and the secular spirit saturating our society, by distractions and forgetfulness, laziness and boredom, wealth and possessions, and on and on. The point is, the wicked spirits can use almost anything and any avenue to try and get at us, to yank us away from Christ, drag us down into their own misery. Misery loves company, after all. And we must have a discerning mind, the mind of Christ, to sniff them out and squash them. This is possible for us to do, my brothers and sisters, because of what Christ has done for us. Taking the example of when Satan assaulted Jesus in the wilderness, that brilliant theologian, St. Maximus the Confessor, writes the following: in order to rescue human nature from a state of helplessness, the only begotten Son and Word of God became perfect man. On account of his flesh, the wicked demons beheld Adam's nature in God the Savior, and thought that in this state he was necessarily a mere man. They therefore assailed him, hoping that they might prevail even against him. But in his experience of temptations by pleasures, he allowed the demons to be mocked by their own tricks, and he stripped off their powers by expelling them from human nature. At the same time, he remained inaccessible and beyond their grasp, clearly winning victory over them, not for his sake, but for ours. Because it was for us that he became man, and in his goodness offered to us the whole of what he accomplished. In the similar vein, St. Eusebius of Mount Sinai wrote, through his incarnation, God gave us the model for a holy life and recalled us from our ancient fall. In addition to many other things, he taught us, feeble as we are, that we should fight against the demons with humility, fasting, prayer, and watchfulness. For when after his baptism he went into the desert and the devil came upon him, as though he were merely a man, he began his spiritual warfare by fasting and won the battle by this means. And so, my beloved, clothed in the grace of Christ by his almighty power, armed with the knowledge of eternal and unchanging truth, we have been given a spiritually enlightened mind, the strength and the authority to tread upon serpent and scorpion and all the power of the enemy, and to stand against the wiles and trickeries of the devil. Stand, therefore, we heard St. Paul say this morning, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the fiery and flaming darts of the evil one hurled against you, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the whole armor of God. This is the spiritual weaponry he has given us. And therefore we pray to him, remember, Lord, those who cry out to you, hear us and have mercy, and crush under our feet the invisible and warring enemies. For you are the King of peace and the Savior of our souls, and to you we give glory, to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, to the ages of ages. Amen. May we rise at this time. And grant that always guarded by your power, we may give glory to you, to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages.